Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 354. The show where computer repair techs come on the show and talk to other computer repair techs, you guys, about some ways to maybe help you in your business, some tips, tricks, techniques on making you a better tech. And that's basically the gist of the show. We've been doing it a long time. And I'm happy to have a fellow on this show who I respect highly, and I consider him one of the most rock-solid people. We're on video while we're doing this show, and he's looking around behind him for somebody. No, you are, man, a very rock-solid person, somebody I can depend on, and I'm happy to have had be part of this community for as long as you have. I'm talking about Steve McLaughlin, the Door-to-Door Geek from DoorToDoorGeek.com. What's up, Door?
Thank you, sir. I'm happy blushing will not show up on audio.
I mean it.
Thank you, man.
So what's been going on with your life? You haven't been on Podnuts Daily in a while.
Yeah, I know. I haven't. I'll admit, I haven't been able to do a lot of computer repair just because I'm busy. I'm right now doing, I'd say, combined 6 podcasts a week, even though it's actually 5 and then 2 halves.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah, so it's been kind of busy. I have been able to help family member when they're really nice and when I know they won't complain. And I've just been trying to stay enough in the game so I still know what's going on, but I've not been knee deep in it for a while.
That's okay, because when you come on a show like this, I like to tap into your zone of expertise, which is mainly running Linux, right?
That's where I tend to spend most of my days, yes.
Yeah, so that Linux has been very helpful for me as a computer repair tech when I had my shop. And I'm sure you could give some tips on that and anything else you can think of. So we'll get into that in a second. Mm-hmm. First, I want to make a very bold, interesting, monumental announcement, I guess you could say. Many of you guys know that I'm starting my career as a musician. And Podnuts has kind of suffered a little bit as far as the shows I do, the consistency of the shows, the amount of the shows, the attention put on the network. And a lot of you guys know I've been had the network up for sale and I've been looking for a buyer. But all along, I've been basically looking for somebody who has passion for podcasting, wants to carry on the network, has listened to Podnuts in the past, likes the network, and wants to continue the tradition of Podnuts. So we came up with a little harebrained scheme here, and here's the basic gist of it. Let us know what you think, guys. We have started a Kickstarter campaign, and you could get to it at podnuts.com/Kickstarter. Here's the gist. I am going to be starting a career as a musician and going full-time doing that. So how can I do that when I also have a full network of podcasts I want to continue to, you know, have continue to go and run and not worry about that? Well, we started a Kickstarter campaign. It's at podnuts.com/Kickstarter. And what we're basically doing is raising funds. The funds will be used to kickstart me and jumpstart me in a music career. If the Kickstarter goal is met, the financial goal is met, I will be freed up financially that I will turn the Podnuts Network over to Door-to-Door Geek, Steve McLaughlin, to continue to run, to expand. We've already talked about this. He's got ideas about adding more shows. He wants to continue getting Podnuts Daily going consistently. We're going to bring back myharddrivedied.com. And, you know, Door's always in the forums, kicking out spammers, you know, maintaining peace, answering everybody's questions. And I can't think of anybody better in the world that has the passion, can do the job, and is willing to do it than Door. So that is what's happening. Door, let's talk about this for a little while. What do you think about all that?
Well, the first thing I'll hearken back to is, yeah, to be honest, me and Steve have been talking about this off and on for 5 months or so, 6 months. And if this was 15 years ago in my life and responsibilities were different, I think I would have just made Steve an outright offer. And it's only because I honestly have felt no community I've ever came across on the internet was as genuinely nice and genuinely helpful to other people. And all I ever wanted to was try to do my little pesky voicemail leaving self to try to make stuff a little bit better. I felt like I could, offer things that I knew that I experienced, and I just wanted to encourage everybody else to try to do the same. Needless to say, if I would go get a loan for something my wife would say doesn't exist and it's, in thin air kind of thing, I might have not woken up the following morning. So I did look at it. I could not afford this outright. I will say, to me, the number one goal is almost to be out of the way. And what I mean by that is take the timeline back about a year and try to bring back the activity that was happening on Podnuts. The forums, they've definitely slowed down to what they were about a year ago. Don't get me wrong, they're still active. There are still plenty of nice guys there. But about a year ago, it was pretty friggin' active. Podnuts Daily was coming out on a regular basis. I honestly think that, to me, was probably the most important show in my career, because it allowed me to communicate with others who were hobbyists when it came to computers, but also sharing what we knew about fixing computers and, the way I will say it, rigging computers to make them do what you want to do. So, to be honest, part of the thing was I could not do this entire thing by myself with a 9-to-5, with kids. It's asking a lot. And I'm amazed Steve did not have like cases of Red Bull behind him for the last couple of years to pull this kind of venture off. I do have a couple guys who are going to definitely be helping me out. As far as I know, at least in the beginning, the network's not going to quote unquote change. We're going to try to bring it back to the full thing it used to be a year ago, and then only then look at adding content to the show. And I can tell you, the main thing in my book is maintaining the level of quality that Steve has. I'm not going to say had, because he still has that level of quality. There's no doubt about it. Steve didn't put on no garbage. It's the best way I can put it. And the last thing I want to do is soil the name Podnuts. I will say this. If this Kickstarter goes well, and I'm pretty sure it will, because this is, once again, the best community I've ever seen. Podnuts is bigger than me. I am not bigger than Podnuts. Podnuts has a path where it is going, and my job, I feel like it, is just to make it continue on that path. Don't waver, don't fall. Make Podnuts Daily come back, try to get the Great Tech Debate back, try to get My Hard Drive Died back at least monthly, because I know Scott's an extremely busy guy traveling literally the world teaching people about stuff that most of us can't comprehend. I am, of course, I don't want to say scared, because that implies something else. I am almost giddy, with a touch of anxiety mixed in. But if you guys listen to Linux for the Rest of Us, episode 104, I believe, in the very beginning, I said, we as people need to do two things to be honest and true to ourselves. Number one, don't let other people tell you what you cannot do. But even more importantly, don't let yourself tell you what you cannot do. I, in the last year, have had a lot of things go on in my life that were by my own choice. And I'm trying everything in my power not to tell myself why I shouldn't do stuff, but instead do things act on things I believe are right and are just, and just try to do the best I can. And if I don't, and if I'm not perfect, that is in no shape, way, or form a fail. Because now I learned something in that process. I learned, for instance, at Ohio Linux Fest, maybe I should have prepared a touch more and not listened to the crowd and drink so much just before OLF. But I'm just kidding. That was an absolute great time. But you always got to learn something, and you don't learn something by not trying something.
Yeah, I think what you said is pretty much a formula for success. And I'm confident in you. And here's the kicker. This is like, I'm not moving to Antarctica and cutting off all communication channels to me.
Right.
I am going to make sure that Dor has everything he needs, and we're going to make a nice, smooth transition. So what he said is spot on, and I'm just going to be here to reinforce it. I'm not cutting ties. I don't plan on doing that. I'm going to help in any way I can, turn over every little bit of knowledge I have on how I did the things I did, and then let these guys run with it. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, and trust me, I'm not going to be at all bullheaded. I'm going to come close to really annoying Steve at times by the number of questions I have. And okay, I got to rewind a little bit more, because this was something I thought about earlier today. Okay. Podnuts is by far the nicest community, people helping people, nobody's asking for nothing, kind of men kind of mentality. And the one thing, I wanted to help Podnuts in the beginning, just because it was Podnuts. And I will say, as time went on, I wanted to help Steve. And the more I talked to Steve, the more I realized he has morals, he has ethics, he is upstanding, he has respect. He does things not for himself per se, just to do them. He is selfless. Selfless, not shelfless, shellfish. Selfless. With that said, there's no way I could ever be Steve Tribino. I mean, you know, I wear glasses all the time. The only thing I can do is try to uphold standards that have been set forth before I got here. And the one thing I highly encourage is, when this is successful, when Steve does start to punch out EDM, is that what it's called?
Yes.
EDM. See, I'm getting hip now.
Electronic dance music, right, folks.
When Steve starts punching that out, I am going to utterly encourage every single Podnut scene out there, you have a job, and your job is to make sure you tell me what I am doing right, what I am doing wrong. What do I need to do to continue building this network up to be better and better and better? I don't have all the answers. And Steve is another guy I've heard vehemently state, we do not know everything. If we do not have input, all we'll ever do is mediocre. You know what I mean? We got to have feedback. We got to have input in order to make something great. And I have little doubt guys in the forums, guys on the IRC, via email, via voicemail, or voicemail via email, you know, that's where I'm going to need that input. And I have little doubt if I ask, I'm going to get it. So I'll just tell people, plan on about 37 days from here, start sending feedback.
Dor loves feedback. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And feedback is needed. Trust us. It's like, you know, we got to know what we're doing right and doing wrong. Dor, I do hope you're in my ear asking me questions all the time. That's what I would love, because first of all, I like talking about podcasting. And second of all, I'm going to let you know exactly what needs to be done. So, and thank you for the compliments earlier, man. So, I'm actually excited about this. I can't wait to see what happens. This is kind of what I wanted. So I'm really pleased. So I really appreciate you, Dor, taking on this this responsibility. And if you have any anxiety, knock it out, because we will get through this.
Oh, don't worry. I'll just take it all out on Lalo.
Definitely do that.
I just kid. And the one thing I have to stipulate, which I don't think Steve stipulated, Lalo and Matt own the brand Podnuts Pro. I, in no shape, way, or form, am going to have the right to tell them what to do. They are men, first and foremost. They've done a lot of these episodes. I have no right telling those guys to change anything. All I'm going to do is ask them, did you do a show? Do you have a file? Is there anything you need from me? I'm just going to support those guys as best as I possibly ever could. And I don't want people to think this is going to turn into a Linux network. Contraire mon frere. Okay. I to be honest, the one thing that might change is there's going to be more Mac on this network. Because without Windows and Mac and Linux and Unix, there's no competition. Without competition, nothing gets better. And I think you really have to know and understand the complexities that go along with this competition. You know what I mean? If anything, we're going to have more Windows content, not less, because we have to know these things. We have to know how to fix them. We have to know how to service them. We have to know what's coming. We have to know what passed. You know, it's all going to be a target goal of maximizing the amount of quality content per each episode.
Wow. Hey, man, that's great. I think it's spot on. If you guys want to help contribute and support this endeavor, go head over to podnuts.com/Kickstarter. Read the page. Watch the video. You'll see exactly what's going on. And let's make this happen, guys. Let's call it a done deal. So.
Oh, yeah. And the one thing I'll ask from people, if something happened, a family crisis happened, you lost your job or something, don't stress yourself to make it to where you cannot live comfortably. First and foremost, live comfortably. At least share the word. At least tweet the link. Say something positive on Facebook about the link. Support there is just as, if not more important than actually donating $5 or $10.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, guys, as many people as you could tell about this, spread the word. Anybody who's interested in Podnuts, I'm sure will be interested in this. So those are the people we're looking for to help us out with this. Very cool. All right, Dor. Well, let's get into some computer repair stuff or stuff that could help some techs out there. Now, we've done Linux for the rest of us, me and you, over 100 episodes. Cody Cooper is now the co-host of that show, and I think that's going awesomely, if that is a proper word. You know a lot about that operating system. You work a lot with it when you get home from working with Windows all day, right? It's your day job.
Yeah.
I know from when I had my computer repair shop, I used Linux a lot for different tasks that, you know, worked better than Windows. Why don't you lay on us some of your best tips using Linux that can help a computer repair tech where people are bringing in Windows machines and Mac machines and possibly some Linux machines all day long? How can Linux help them? What are some things they could do?
Gotcha. Well, the first thing that everybody needs to understand is you got to use the right tool for the right job. To have Linux as your only base of tools, you are extremely limiting yourself. So I am in no shape, way, or form. You have to run Linux through and through. There are certain tasks that I think Linux are more easily geared towards. And I'll say the first one is covering data. I know Steve D has had success with this in the past. I've had success with this in the past. And I know at least two or three other guys where I've encouraged them, please go to YouTube, watch a video of how to use this, boot up this live CD. Here are the steps you do. And then you have to be patient. Okay. Because recovering data, or even more important, recovering entire partitions, typically is not something that takes a second, especially with newer, bigger drives. It can take a while. And that tool is called a test disk, T-E-S-T-D-I-S-K.
I remember this tool. Not the most GUI friendly. It's text-based, but it's powerful as all you know what.
The best way I'll put this is kind of like my mother. You know, she's not the best cook in the world. You know, if you would go to her house for something to eat, you might not get something that was really good. But using her in the right position, i.e. playing a game of poker, she'll clean house. You know, you had to know what to have her do. Same thing with this tool. If you want something beautiful, this is not the tool you want. If you want something extremely functional, this is the tool. But the best thing about this tool is it's completely cross-platform. You can run this from a BART PE, a Windows pre-installed in environment boot disk. And it wouldn't shock me with Windows 8 coming and you'll be able to boot from a thumb drive. You'll be able to run this tool from that very same thumb drive and rescue data. What one of the things this tool does is it's able to expose deleted partitions, allow you to browse those partitions and only recover certain files. So with a lot of other tools, when you recover data, you don't really know the full path of what you're pulling from. With this one, you can see program files, you go into that folder. You know, Microsoft Office, you go into that folder. There's no guesswork. And that's the biggest reason why I think this tool, it might look harsh on the outside, but once you get into it, you realize it's actually a smooth application.
Best way to learn this tool, probably watching YouTube videos on it?
I say yes, only because there is so many of them. And I'll say if it's a 2-minute video, don't watch it. If it's like a 5 or an 8 minute video, that is typically, I found, the target length of a video that does a good job explaining and showing how to actually do stuff.
Yeah. Now, I remember using this, I think, I don't know, even before YouTube was big. So you can figure it out. I mean, there is documentation, or you could just plug through the options. But I don't recommend that, because you could do some damage there if you hit the wrong thing and delete something you shouldn't have deleted.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and now for one of the crazy parts, okay? One of the tools I always talked about before was SpinWrite. Part of the reason I liked that was it didn't matter what the file system was, okay? It could be an iPod Touch. It could be a TiVo second generation. It didn't matter. If it was a data drive, it could fix it, okay? This tool is almost that good. This tool can understand, read, recover, and fix BFS, BSD disk label, CRAMFS, DOS, Windows, FAT 12, FAT 16, FAT 32, Xbox, Windows EXFAT, which we just talked about on My Hard Drive Died, HFS, HFS Plus, HFS X, JFS, IBM, Linux, ButterFS, EXT2, EXT3, EXT4, and that's not even half of them that this tool can understand, comprehend, read, and recover data.
Wow.
That, to me, is the real golden gem. You know, you could have a GPS device with some information on it. You could have a old MP3 player with some data on it. This tool can get it off.
That's sweet. Very cool. And it's light. It's like super small.
Yeah.
It's free. Is it open source?
Oh, yeah. It is GPL'd, which, if you want to know what that means, you got to listen to the Linux show.
Awesome, man. That's a great tip. Great tool.
Yeah.
Definitely, guys, check it out. Watch some YouTube videos. Learn how to use it. Don't be afraid. And harness the power of Test Disk.
Yeah. The other tool I have is much more of a multi-pronged approach. And I'll just say that was a pun directly, and if you're in the PC repair space, you might have already figured that out. But the tool is called Trinity Rescue Kit. I don't remember if it was me and you, Steve, or just you interviewed the main guy behind Trinity Rescue Kit maybe 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, it's actually not a Podnuts Daily episode. That's a Podnuts episode.
Right.
Can't remember which one, but
it was like 40. No, wow. I don't know.
he had a lot. I mean, that's a really packed disc full of tools.
Yeah, and I'll say this is the kind of thing that I would like to get full Podnuts back to, where you guys have to tell me what is the up and coming tool that we don't talk about that we need to talk about, and we can get in contact with whoever is developing that tool and get them on board and interview them so we can all know about the tool.
Yes.
I'll say Trinity Rescue Kit. The main reason I use it is to mount, is to boot to the live CD and then mount the Windows drive and either enable a account on the Windows computer, whether it be NTME 2000 XP Vista 7, doesn't matter. So typically when you install Windows, now the admin account gets disabled. I boot this puppy up, click, it's enabled. I also can use this tool to blank passwords. A lot of people want tools that can crack passwords. I don't understand what the point of that is. If we're all doing clean, legal work, you don't want to crack a password. You just want to blank a password so you can get into the system and then the user can create a new password when they see fit. I use this tool, click, bang, admin is enabled. Click, bang, admin is now blank. I then take the disk out, boot up to the interface, log in as admin, and then from inside the interface, I can blank or reset the user account. I like doing it that way. Then when I am done and I log back out, I boot back up to the Trinity disk, and then I disable the admin account.
Huh.
I just feel that's a quote-unquote proper way to do it.
Yeah.
The other thing that this thing does that not a lot of people take advantage of, and I will say it is because it is a time sink. Okay. There's no such thing in any reality we know of today as a virus scanner that is really quick and really good. You know, to be really good means it has to scan everything. And to scan,
you mean my Microsoft Security Essentials isn't the best thing out there that scans my disk in 2 minutes?
Mm-mm. No, I would say, and I will still say, if there's anyone who should be able to make AV right, it is Microsoft. And I do believe they are going to get to a point very soon where their tool is by far number one. I still don't think they're there yet, but they've made incredible strides in the last 3 years. I will say that.
Yeah, I agree.
But with this tool, you can boot to a live CD. And now, depending on network speed, RAM speed, the length, how long this is going to take is completely different, and the size of the hard drive. I'll say with a great connection with great RAM in it. I mean, a great connection and great RAM in it. And with a smaller, let's say 500 gig hard drive, to do the full complement of downloading updated virus definition files and running a full 5 antivirus scans on the hard drive would probably still take 4 to 5 hours.
Jeez.
I have seen it take 10 hours. I'm not going to lie. But I love the idea of clicking a disk in, hitting a few buttons, and then literally going off and doing something else to make me money while this thing's working.
Right.
And I will say that is honestly such a small fraction of the total power. And I honestly don't use that word lightly. The true power of this disc. They basically label it as CPR for your computer. I don't know anyone who is that advanced at CPR. This is, to me, just so much more.
Yeah, I remember. This is definitely not like a one-pronged attack. And you can do so many things with that disc. I remember he was talking about booting into that disc and then able to do multi-computer installs over networks with just that disc. That was pretty wild.
Yeah, and it had the ability to do, I believe it's called multicast, which was basically you have, you burn multiple Trinity disc. You boot up to 5 computers to that Trinity disc. You can say, copy this one computer to those other 4, and it will be just as fast as if you said copy this one to that one.
Huh.
So the multicasting in it is something that I can see small businesses need.
Yeah.
And enterprises, if they don't have, they're literally just throwing money away.
It's true. Which a lot of large businesses do anyway.
Well, they're making enough. They don't have to worry about it.
That's cool, man. Great tools.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just going to throw out the last one because this is the Old Faithful, Steve. Okay. The number one reason you would not want to boot to a live Windows environment is to copy data off. Okay. And the reason I say that is file permissions on any operating system is almost a joke. And by almost a joke, I mean, it's a joke when you have physical access to the computer. Notice I did not say in encryption, but file permissions. Okay. Two totally different things. If you have a folder set as read-only in Windows, except for this one user, and then you boot up a Windows Live CD, it's going to look at that hard drive and it's going to see those permissions and it's going to fully respect those permissions. That's not what you want as a tech. Nopix has two things going for it that most other distributions of Linux, flavors of Linux, don't care about. Okay. It knows and admits its goal, one of its main goals in life, is to recover data from Windows computers, okay? So they purposely design it to be easy that way. And what it does is, when you double-click a hard drive from this live CD, and it's a Windows drive, it will try, I want to say, three different ways to mount that disk, where a lot of other Linux flavors will give up after the first try and say,
That's why it works so well. I mean, I never realized why, because I've tried a couple different distros back in the day.
Well, yeah, because, like, here's the thing. If you don't properly shut down Windows, or it's in hibernate or sleep, there's actually a bit in the very beginning of the disk that says, this disk is actively being used by Windows. Don't mount and change any files here, because you could mess something up. Okay? If you don't get a chance to shut down the computer properly, or it was in a boot loop when you turned it off, or it was just frozen when it was turned off, Windows didn't have the chance to properly shut down and turn that bit to say, okay, it's safe to mount. So Nopix will basically forcibly mount. And as long as you don't change the master boot record or things like that, there's no harm in this mount. But other Linux distributions respect that flag to say, oh, leave me alone.
Yeah.
Nopix isn't here. It just
good for Nopix.
Well, and secondly, every Nopix CD I've seen has a default flag turned on that when you copy a huge set or even one folder of files and one file for some reason fails, it won't stop the entire process.
Yes, I loved that about Nopix. That was the clincher for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because the last thing any tech wants to see is click, drag, copy over 20 gigs of data, walk away, get yourself a nice frosty ice cold beverage, and then you come back and you see unable to read file, cancel, retry, or quit. And it's like, what? What?
All of those options will be basically you're screwed,
right? Well, they don't say those exact options. They say ignore, which never ignores, right? So you're basically SOL. You get really fired up and upset, and then you start looking for these specialty tools like Unstoppable Copier, which stops plenty of times on me, where Nopix is just click drag, and then this file didn't work right, get out of my way, and just keeps going. Right. It just plows right through it. This was Love Rhino it. Before we had Rhino as a Podnutsian.
Okay. That's an insider OLF joke.
I know. I'm going to keep that light.
No, that's all right. I just want those guys to know they missed it. Whoever didn't go. Awesome stuff. I used to love Nopix, man. It was such a go-to tool. I'm like, why does this mount everything? Why does this work so well? Everybody's like, what is Nopix? I'm like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So, great stuff, Dor. Thank you very much.
No problem.
All right, so Dor, let me see here. I think we have some old school emails. You want to read do a couple of them?
Oh,
got time?
Man, I really do like emails.
Okay, all right, here we go. All right, so we do have some emails from you guys. They're not as old as one would think.
They're not like
a year old.
They're not 13 months old.
No, not like on my hard drive died. We read an email from a year and a half before, and I'm sure that listener was anxiously waiting every day to get that answer. Mm-hmm. All right, this one's from Evan. He says, hey, first off, thanks so much for an amazing site and set of shows. I hope you do well with selling the network. Wish I could buy it. Well, we just handled that. My question is about suppliers. Do you have set suppliers or just hop around on Newegg, Amazon, and eBay? Is it worth finding a local supplier? I would think they would be able to serve you better than a hugely massive company like Newegg. Thanks, and good luck with selling. Well, I can answer this a bit. A local supplier would be great. I did not have one. But I did buy from some local places in a pinch. The downside to doing that is they're not as big as Newegg, so they're not going to be able to mark stuff down as much as a huge site. So the benefit of working with a huge site is you could probably get really good prices. I recommend watching the Wise Technician videos, wisetechnician.com. Chris Barry gives some killer tips on finding suppliers. When I was running my shop, I had a micro center down the street, which was basically wholesale prices, and I would just go there all the time to get the stuff that I needed. And all my specialty items, like special laptop fans, screens, hinges, and all that stuff, eBay all the way for me. And I think it's even gotten better on eBay. So those were my options. I never had a local supplier. I always kind of wanted one, so I should have pursued that a little bit more, but I didn't, and I was okay. But, Dor, what do you think?
Honestly, you stole my thunder. I was going to say, well, if you would have watched Wise Technician, you would have known this. There is not one answer for this question.
Right.
Common items like laptop coolers, you know, physical hard drives, keyboards, mice, that kind of thing, you absolutely should try to make a local connection with an outlet. Because if you become a good customer of theirs and you keep coming back to them, they can set you up with a business a account, which will get you discounts. And it can become very good discounts if you become busy. But when
you don't get taxed on if you have that EIN number or something like that, you don't get taxed on it.
That is right. I forgot about that. And then the inverse is true also for a laptop hinge. Or a specialty part, you cannot find a retail outlet that will have that. And if they do, it will be half the price of a new laptop.
Yeah, it's true.
That's when eBay, man, I'm going to tell you right now, eBay has went through a roller coaster. I don't want to say of quality, but of what people thought they were. We're right now, to me, they're definitely on an upswing where the rating system seems like it really works. If you buy from someone with a high star count or DM rating, I've heard of nothing but success from people.
Right. Even from like Hong Kong and places like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's definitely worth it. For those, if you guys don't know by now, I mean, some people still have this mentality that all you buy is used stuff at auction on eBay. No. It's definitely a market now. We have tons of buy it now items, brand new stuff, and they still have auctions for old crappy stuff or old vintage stuff, whatever you want. So it's still good. I can imagine their rates have gone up as high as they could push them, but it's still worth buying from them.
Yeah.
The buyer doesn't have to worry about those rates anyway. It's the seller who gets kind of screwed on that. So let them get screwed. All right, this one's from Nathan. He says, hey, Steve, this is Nate in Iowa. Being honest, this is going to be kind of long. Feel free to break this up, but please read it on the air. This is one Podnuts fanboy who would appreciate it a lot. I'm a tech with a day job. Let me see how long this is. It's not too long. I've seen longer than that. Okay, he says, I'm a tech with a day job who has never made the full-fledged business thing work, at least not yet, and yet is in capitals. More on that in a sec. Discovered your show some time ago and have been slowly chewing through the archives, loving every minute of it. Whatever you do, don't stop these shows. I recently was able to start listening to them at work, and they make the hours fly by. Thanks for saving my sanity. I had been planning on emailing or calling in to ask about the many great tools that are recommended on the show. When I can, I keep a notebook handy to write down the next app I should add to my toolbox. Too bad I can't do that every time I play the podcast. Then I heard episode 290-something-ish. You mentioned that DataMike keeps such a list. I need to apologize to Mike in advance. I'll be camping out on his page for the next week or so, running up his bandwidth usage, and I'll be watching that list regularly for the new thumb drive candy that comes out. Thanks, Mike. Now, I have to make a little note here. Well, of course, Podnuts Daily has fallen off heavily, and I don't think Mike puts the newest stuff up there. I could be wrong. So I guess you're going to have to wait. I don't know. I guess show notes might be the only way to do that, or you got to keep listening to the podcast. Anyway, let me continue. He says, on to the tech question. It involves Chrome's issues with Flash Player. I found the reason Flash crashes. Chrome is supposed to refer to either its own internal Flash plugin or defer the player installed or defer to the player installed on the host system. Chrome gets confused and tries to run both or neither, more so when you have more than one video showing active. I'm sorry, guys. My text is small. Let me expand it. More so when you have more than one video window active or more than one tab with Flash on it. Here's the question. What is the cleanest way to uninstall all versions of Flash from my system and from Chrome so I can start fresh? With only one version inside Chrome and one on my system, it will be a while before Chrome gets versions confused again. And yes, I'll post this to the forums. They are great. But hey, getting read on Podnuts is just plain cool. That leads me into starting my business. The shows have not only given me great advice on how to do it, they've gotten me fired up to do so. As soon as I get it off the ground by like an inch, I'm going to sign up to appear on Podnuts. Your listeners/viewers/podcasters can get the perspective of a guy starting a business with nothing but Podnuts, a screwdriver, and a USB stick. Should be good times. And this is the best part. Well, not really the best. This is a little bit of a sad part, actually. And he says, and lastly, I'd also at that time like to come on the great tech debate or Nuts at Night. On one condition, get two or three of the other guests from your regulars that are also named Steve. I know you have them. I'll be the token non-Steve. Make a regular Monty Python gag out of it. On the off chance you don't get the reference, here's what you do. Take it to the Podnuts forums. They can help you out. I got the reference. Keep doing what you do. Please, seriously, some of us depend on it. Cheers. And that's from Nathan. The sad part is those were two shows that I haven't done in quite some time. But like Dor said, you know, there could be some revival. So we could make Nathan's wish come true there. We'll see. We'll see what the future holds. Nathan, good luck starting your business. Super glad Podnuts can help you with any information you got from the shows. And now let's answer some of your questions here. Dor, you got anything on that Chrome issue?
Well, I'll say this. I didn't know there was any way to actually uninstall the Flash that was inside Chrome. I honestly don't think there is a way to uninstall the version of Flash that is inside Chrome, nor will it have multiple versions inside Chrome either. When you close down Chrome, it basically does a update check. And if there was an update pending, the next time Chrome boots, it downloads that update. And then the next time you close Chrome, it installs that update. And that's like a complete versioning system, not Flash, just Chrome itself. I will say, if you want Chrome without Flash, you can get Chromium. Chromium is basically the open source version of Chrome that's completely compatible, as far as I know, completely compatible with the Chrome web store. So you can get add-ons and plugins all you
really?
Want.
Really?
Mm-hmm. But there's no Flash involved.
Wow.
That's the only way I know that you can actually control the version of Flash that's interacting with Chrome.
Gotcha. And to uninstall all the Flash from a PC?
I'm sure there's a universal tool you click once and it uninstalls all versions. I know of no such tool. I can't help with that.
Hey, if Norton makes their own Norton removal tool, hopefully Adobe will make their own Adobe remove all the crap tool.
Touche.
Yeah. All right. Want to do another email, Dor?
Sure.
Shorter one here. And Nathan, hey, thanks for that email, man. I'm really glad the shows have helped you, and happy to read your email on the show. This is from Buffalo Joe. He says, just had a situation. I did not have an XP home CD, so I installed XP Pro with an XP Pro product key, and it installed normally, even though the computer came with a XP home. Yay! The reason I tried this was I talked to a Microsoft rep a few months ago. I had a computer that was downgraded to XP Pro. And the sticker on the computer was for, the sticker on the computer was for Windows 7 Pro. The associate said just type in an XP Pro product key of a similar computer and it will work. And it did. Cool. Thanks. Joe Nowicki, Buffalo Joe. Now, Joe, typing in, that's interesting that the Microsoft rep said that, because typing in the sticker from another computer means you're using that other computer's license.
Yeah. And I'll say the licensing for those computers is strictly prohibited and non-transferable.
Okay.
Disclaimer out of the way.
So, he was being bad Microsoft associate rep.
Yeah. But I will say, a lot of people think there's a lot of black magic and voodoo going on with these install media. In actuality, it's not. If I have two similar Dell laptops, the model numbers are close, but they're not exact, and I have an XP Pro disk and I have an XP Home disk, I can interchangeably install either one on either piece of hardware, sure, and it will just work.
Yes.
Definitely. With that said, I highly encourage, if you're giving this computer to a customer, you try to remain as legal as possible, because you never know where that laptop could end up. It might be in a investigation for something totally not related, but it might be one of those things that they decide, hey, here's something else we can get them on. Find out who worked on his computer.
It's true. Joe, I had a bit of a situation when I had my shop that just bit me in the butt. So, listen to Dora there. It's definitely worth it in the long run. Very cool. Well, we might as well read the last one. What do you think, Dora?
I say sure.
There we go. Actually, this one is not for the show. Sorry about that. Anybody who wants to send us an email, send it to mail@podnuts.com. We will get it and read it. Yeah, if you want to send us a voicemail, we could play them too. Just call 7076-PODNUT on a phone. We are back in business here, so we're going to be doing shows. So we're looking forward to your emails, feedback, whatever you wish to send us. We will take it into consideration. So, Dor, thank you very much for coming on the show. Thanks for taking this on, allowing me to make this announcement, and I think get everybody excited again.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm really excited, to be honest, to have the challenge. But now, if I can keep it real for a moment, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason, I donated to you in the past financially, a straight donation of money. And you said, oh man, that's really nice. And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is extremely selfish of me. And you were like, what are you talking about? I'm in my logic, I'm giving you money as a deposit for future podcasts. It was me being selfish. And I'll say, if you want to take something away from this as me being selfish, it's the fact that if this does occur, when this does occur, I'm not going to have to worry about basically 5 email accounts, 5 websites, 5 Twitter streams, 5 Facebook streams, 5 Google Plus streams, 5 forums for all 5 shows that I do. Dude, that's a burden. That's all I got to say. Having it all centralized in one place would be so much less stressful.
And you bring everybody together to mingle with each other.
Well, and to be honest, that's the one thing I really feel bad about some of the other podcasts that I do. I feel like I'm purposely keeping them just far away from the gates of information, to where, you know, if I'm over here and they're asking me this question, I know 2 people who are Podnutsians who would know the immediate answer to this right now, but we're standing outside the gates.
I see.
I think bringing all the communities together and bringing future people in on new podcasts will only benefit everything. And the number one goal is to maintain quality and maintain the level of respect in the forums. One more disclaimer, because it is out there. You people can go look. Years ago, when this was not close to as gray on top of my head, for instance, years ago, I definitely did not have as much couth, as much tact, as much patience with other people. And if you go look in the forums and you look at the postings I was doing back in 2007 or whatever, you will see once in a while I went off the handle. And I said things that maybe in my mind at the time were actually accurate. It was quite anal and disrespectful of things that I've done. And I honestly feel like since then I have grown a lot. And I honestly think that if we can maintain that type of attitude that we've had in the Podnuts forums for at least 3 years now, 4 years, and in the podcast, be family friendly, like everything Podnuts has always been, I think we're going to have no problem with moving forward, moving onward. Right now, just, I hate to say this to people, but listen, whatever you're doing, just stop. Whatever you imagine Podnuts can be, stop imagining. It can happen right now. You guys have to come in. You guys have to do a little bit of support. I'm going to support everything I possibly can about Podnuts. Steve won't say this. I will. Right now, I need your help if you want to see Podnuts regain the crown that it had. Steve needs your help, to be honest, if you want Steve to be happy. And I don't, and that came out totally wrong because he's happy right now. But if you want to, if you want him to wake up every day feeling challenged, feeling antsy about getting knee deep into creating music and creating artwork, dare I say, here's where we Podnutsians need to do something. We need to get up. We need to stand up. We need to click. Don't just go to Podnuts.com/Amazon for the next 30 days. That's not enough. Those funds cannot be put towards the Kickstarter. The goal, I ask people, focus if you can now. Look forward, and we need to make this happen.
Well stated.
I'm sorry, we're in the middle of a presidential debate, so I should have went like this and said, read my lips.
Thank you for saying what you said, man. Thank you for saying what you said. The more I listen to you talk about this, the more excited I get about this whole thing. So guys, thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for, if you do what anything that Dorr said, any of the many things that Dorr said, it's much appreciated. I appreciate it. He appreciates it. Podnuts is going to be bigger, stronger, better than ever. Wear the crown again. Be consistent. Put out shows. Become bigger. Become bigger. Become bigger. Better. And it's going to be the network that that it should have been. I should not have let it dip at all. So thank you, guys. That's it. Going to be it for Podnuts Daily for today. And we'll see you next time.